Yep.
And the way we're going to hook them is by giving them the link to the live, the upcoming live event.
That's right. Okay, so we are live, and this is today's podcast at long last. 5, 4, 3.
If you are a real estate investor, or you want to be a real estate investor, and you need or want money and funding for your deals, regardless of your credit, regardless of your income, regardless of your experience in real estate investing, you're at the right place. We're going to plug you into the money in just a moment. Well, welcome to Real Estate Investing with Jay Connor, the Jay Connor Show. And I'm the Private Money Authority, and we're broadcasting to you here from Morehead City, North Carolina. And co-hosting the show here with me is Chaffee Wynn from Chicago, but not in Chicago today. So welcome, Chaffee.
Welcome, Jay.
Wow. Have we had an exciting week this week? In fact, I think I'm still recuperating, you know?
You and me both.
We just finished the real estate cash flow conference, real estate investing event here in Morehead City, Atlantic Beach, North Carolina. For the past 3 days, had a fantastic event. We had people from all over the nation. We had people come. I know we had at least two different families came from California. We had people from Indiana. We had people from Florida. A lot of people from Georgia. Had people from Texas. Everything in between. So, yeah, it was great, Chaffee.
And that speaks volumes, Jay, because it's not easy to get here.
It is not easy to get to Morehead City, Atlantic Beach, North Carolina, that's for sure. But,
yeah, so thanks for everyone that actually made the effort, came out here and showed up. We had a great time, and we got some things that we can share about the event this time around, right?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, we got comment forms here that people just filled out yesterday about what they got from the event. The bus tour is always a hit. Having private lenders at the event is always a hit that the attendees get to network with. And so, what we thought we would do on today's show is we had just some fantastic questions that were asked by students attending the event. So we thought we'd replay, some of those. But before we get to those, Chaffee, what would you say were some highlights from the event, that stands out to you from this particular one?
Well, as you said, as always, the bus tour is a huge hit with everyone. And again, the comments that we heard is that from people that have been on bus tours before is that this was great because they were your properties.
Yeah, this wasn't a bus tour where you go and look at properties that are in the multiple listing service. These properties are actually my properties that our houses that are either under renovation. We do a lot of rehabs. We're knocking on, coming up on 400 rehabs that we've done since we started. And so they're either under rehab, or we haven't finished, or they're almost finished, or they are finished and staged. I mean, they get to, in fact, that was one of the comment, or more than one comment, about how on the bus tour, the students get to interact with my dream team members, such as the interior designer and contractors, and et cetera.
Absolutely. Another thing is what a lot of people talked about is just the authenticity of the event. I mean, what you see is what you get with you, Jay. I mean, there's no show or anything. It's just you go up there and you share volumes of information, easy step-by-step checklist to learn how to do things, and you don't overcomplicate things. So people really love that. And we actually got more comments about that as well.
Yeah, exactly. And so, at the event, we have, as I mentioned, the private lenders. We have a session with them where we interview the private lenders, have another session on the third day all about automation, where we interview my team members that make this happen, our local assistant that oversees all the buyer and seller leads. And so, and it's very interactive. In fact, at the live event, one lady came up to me on the third day. And she said, Jay, what I really love is about the way that you get the attendees to interact with each other. So, in fact, I read one of the comments just a few moments ago about how The networking was so valuable. They get to network with, you know, other real estate investors from all across the nation. And another comment was how they enjoyed me teaching all four pillars of my business. And first pillar, you know, being how we locate deals before other real estate investors know they exist, how we fund them without, you know, credit verification of income using private money, private lenders, how we can sell any house in less than 3 days, and how we automate the business. So, you want to jump in on some questions, Chaffee?
Yeah.
We had staff write down the questions that as they were being asked. So let's replay through some of those questions that we were actually asked at the live event.
Awesome. So the first question, or one of the questions that was asked at the live event, is Jay, have you ever purchased a house without seeing what's inside?
Have I ever purchased a house without seeing the inside of the house? Well, the answer is yes. I've bought a lot of houses without me personally seeing the inside of the house. But I can assure you, you do not want to buy a house unless at least one of your team members has seen the inside of the house. So when I'm out of town, or if I'm not available to go look at a house, when one of our lead sources comes up with the lead, and you know, my virtual assistant or my acquisitionist talks to the seller and gets the information, if the numbers look promising and there's enough spread or enough potential profit, and we don't know what the repairs are yet, so then one of my contractors or my crew leaders will go to the house. My acquisitionist will set that appointment and go to the house and will do a budget sheet for me to review. So I'll actually see what the estimated repairs are. So here's the deal. We can't make an offer on a house or know what the offer, make an offer, but it wouldn't be an educated offer. I can't make an offer on a house until I know the following. I must know what the after repaired value is. I get that from my realtor that I've been doing business with for 14 years. So we get the after repaired value. We then get the estimated repairs. Once I have those two numbers, we can make an offer. And like I teach my students, let the math make the decision. So we use the same formula every time. It's called the maximum allowable offer formula, or MAO. And so here's the formula. R, which stands for after repaired value, which means it's an absolutely gorgeous shape using, you know, granite countertops and et cetera. So we take the R and we multiply it times 70%. That gives us a figure. We subtract the repairs, and then that gives us the maximum allowable offer. And I always take another $10,000 off of that figure to make the offer. But back to the question at hand, someone on your team, if not yourself, must look at the house. Chaffee, have you ever bought a house? I mean, you've been a real estate investor as long as I have, if not longer. What's your process on making the offer?
Well, it's the same thing. It's somebody's got to see the house. And even if I don't see the house myself, I see pictures of the house or something after my team member has gone to see the house. So, you know, sight unseen, I have done sight unseen properties in the sense of I haven't seen it, just like you when you're traveling, or, you know, I buy out of state, so I don't see the properties physically myself. And somebody's got to see it. Somebody's got to know what's inside, because you never know what's inside. There could be some surprises that are unpleasant inside. So again, one of your team members should be inside, and you should sometimes follow up with photos or videos today with the technology that we have.
Exactly. Now, we promised the listeners and viewers when we started out a moment ago that we're going to plug you into the money, regardless of your credit, your experience, your income. So here's what we're going to plug you into. And that is, we've got free tickets. There is a $97 registration fee, but we got free tickets for two of you. You can, yourself and a guest. The upcoming live event, next live event, is right around the corner. It's a few short weeks away. And so we're going to give you the website that you can go to and register right now for the upcoming live event, which the dates are October 10th, 11th, and 12th. 2018. So here's the website. Go to www.jayconner.com/allinlowercasemoneypodcast. Money podcast, one word right after jayconner.com. And I'm an ER, not an OR. And for those of you that are watching on YouTube, we've got the website right down here that you can go check it out. At that website, you'll see all the highlights of the live event and why you will want to get there. This is the last chance this year to attend this live event. And again, there's not another one like it on the planet.
Jay, you want to read some comments from the one that we just had?
Sure, sure. So let's see, here's a comment. It says, great information overall at the live event. Quest, and what this attendee is referring to is Quest IRA, questira.com. Quest is out of Houston, Texas. I endorse Quest. They've got fantastic service, and they are the self-directed IRA company that I recommend to all of my new private lenders, to my students. And as I said, they give great service. Well, Quest was at my live event talking about self-directed IRAs. It's very, very important for you as a real estate investor to have a relationship with a self-directed IRA representative. And if you don't know what a self-directed IRA is, we've got a whole episode and show on that in the archives that you can go back and listen to. But it's a really cool way that you, your private lenders, can earn unlimited income and profits per year, tax-free and penalty-free. So this student's referring to Quest. They did a presentation. It says, Quest gave me more ideas than I knew existed about self-directed IRAs. Jay's energy and his willingness to help is like none other. Let's see here. You got a comment?
Yeah, this is a really good one. And this one actually comes from an educator. And she says, I loved the teaching style. As an educator, I appreciate the hands-on teaching and role play. It was easy to follow, and this is the best part, Jay.
Yes.
And even with lack of sleep, I did not nod off.
we must have done a good job keeping this student away.
That's right.
Awesome. All right, so let's see here. You and I were talking about another question. Part of us getting on the podcast. So what's another question that we have from the live event?
So another question from the live event, and I'm sure you get this question a lot, Jay, is what do you do when a private lender wants to actually be involved in the deals and partner up with you instead of just being a private lender?
Well, that is an excellent question, and here's why. I have a private lender that has got about $650,000 with me. And so we started out, now just make sure everyone understands what a private lender is in this context. So this is not like a joint venture partner. You know, the old business model or a business model is one partner puts up the money, the other partner does the sweat equity, does the work, finds the deal, oversees the project if there is rehab, markets the property, and then at the end of that deal, they share in the profits. Could be 50-50, 75-25, whatever the arrangement is. Well, in this world of private money, the real estate investor, entrepreneur, you, your entity owns the property, and the private lender acts in the same capacity as a bank. So the private lender does not own the property. Private lender gets a promissory note, gets a mortgage, is named on the insurance policies, the mortgagee, et cetera. Same documentation that a bank would get. So in answer to the question, what happens when the private lender wants to get involved and actually joint venture on a deal? Well, I'll tell you what happened. So this private lender that I just mentioned, that's got $650,000 with me. We had done, I don't know how many deals, Chaffee, we had done when this conversation came along. maybe three, maybe four, five or six, something like that. And so he calls me up and he says, Jay, I like the private lending program. It's great. He says, but I want to get more involved, you know, in the deals. I want a joint venture with you on the deals. And, you know, I want to share in the profits. And I didn't hesitate with my answer. And I recommend your answer be the same. I said, well, you know, I tried that and that doesn't work because too many cooks in the kitchen burns the toast, which means there can only be one decision maker in this game. There can't be two decision makers. And so what I do in my program is my private lenders do what they do best. And that is loan money, sit back, do nothing, collect checks. All right. I do what I'm best. I'm the orchestra director. I go pull this. I've got the team. We find the deals. Okay. I've got the steady flow of seller leads coming in every week. I handle that end. And I said, so, you know, that I'm not interested in doing the joint venture for that reason or those reasons. So did my private lender go away? No. My private lender did not go away. Where else is he going to get these types of returns safely and securely that I pay him? So stand your ground. It's your program. It's your private lending program. I mean, at the live event that we just had, I go into detail at the live event exactly what my program is. Mm-hmm. What's the interest rate that I'm paying? How's my private lender protected if I lose my mind and move to the Caribbean? You know, what happens, you know, to their loan amount, et cetera. And so we go over the entire private lending program at the event. So that was a good question.
Awesome. So Jay, I know we had a bunch more questions, so let's get to another question from the live event.
Sure, sure. Oh, before we get to another question, I've just got to share a couple of comments. Okay. We just got these comment sheets from the live event that just finished up. And one comment that I got here, the attendee says, what I loved best about the event was learning all the information about all the different sources where I can get private money for my deals. So that's great. Yeah, at the live event, I talk about all the different categories of where private lenders are. For example, you got private lenders in your own warm market. But we also teach at the live event, well, where are some new warm markets? Where can you go where private lenders hang out, right, and meet them? You know, we teach where to find existing private lenders very quickly and easily. So I'm glad they had that comment so I could talk about at the live event. We cover all these different areas of where the private money is. And, of course, we have private lenders at the event that you can network with.
Well, and, you know, one of the questions that we ask at the event is, you know, who has friends that have no money, right? Because that's the biggest challenge is people come and they say, you know, all my friends are broke. I don't know anybody with any money. And so after that session and throughout the event, when you're talking about all these different sources, they leave and they go, wow, I actually know potentially more sources of private money than I ever thought I could.
Exactly. Exactly. In fact, I heard one student yesterday as we were wrapping up the event, talking about, I hadn't even thought about that idea that you gave on where I could go to get private money. She says, I've already got an appointment tomorrow. So that's pretty cool.
Awesome. Awesome. I got one to read.
Sure.
So this is, I really like this comment. Well, let me read it and I'll tell you why. If you're looking to feel like part of a family, you will love Jay's program. It's very informative and you have fun learning all the things that are going to help you on your journey. And I like that, obviously, because I do feel like, Jay, you're part of the family and the whole staff and the entire team is there.
Yep.
When you come to the event, you get to meet Brenda and Antigone and the office managers. You get to meet myself and the coaches. And I just love working together with people that have the like mind of helping other people.
Absolutely. And, you know, another one of the big comments that we get from a lot of events are how much the students get from the one-on-one strategy sessions that you and the other coaches offer for the students at the live event. They learn breakthroughs or they experience breakthroughs in these one-on-one strategy sessions. So we do those at all the live events. And Chaffee's been coming to all my live events now for a couple of years. And Chaffee, just take a quick second and tell everybody your background as to how it is you're qualified to coach people in their businesses and on these strategy sessions.
So obviously I started in investing in real estate and started buying and selling properties. And once you get to a certain level and you're doing fairly well, people start asking you questions and you start answering those questions. And I found that I like to help people, you know, grow their business. And that led me down to a path of personal development. And I got training in hypnosis and subconscious reprogramming and dove more into the personal coaching arena. And so I've been doing that now for the past decade, is running my own coaching business.
And it's for that reason, Chavvy's at all my events to work with the students and the other certified coaches on these strategy sessions. And beyond that, you're just a cool guy to hang out with. We met each other about 10 years ago. Yeah. And, you know, some people you meet, you know, just hit it off the bat right away. So anyway, I didn't mean to slow you down on another question that you were wanting to ask. So back to you and go ahead.
So, yeah, let's talk about another question from the event then.
All right.
Right. So let's see. This one says, Jay, what type of insurance do you have on your properties and on your business?
Well, it's a good question, and it's a very involved question. So there's different types of insurance coverages that you're going to want on your properties. It's going to depend on if your portfolio is primarily buy and hold and you're a landlord, or if your portfolio is primarily flips, or if it's, you know, 50-50. And so really what we can do at the live event is sit down with you and discuss with you what kind of, you know, portfolio you have. You may not have any, you know, houses yet. Obviously, this question was from someone that's got more, you know, some type of portfolio of houses. So if you have not done any real estate deals yet, we'll have one recommendation for you on insurance. If you've got, you know, three or five, and depending on if they're flips or buy and holds, we'll have another recommendation. Or if you've got a large portfolio, like, you know, right now, I've got somewhere between 28 and 30 houses in process somewhere along the way. They're either under renovation, or I've got, of course, quite a few of them have got rent to own buyers in them. Where, you see, here's my business model. My business model is, when I sell a home on rent to own, we're going to do everything we can to get them ready for a mortgage, mm-hmm. because that was their intent when they moved in on rent to own. And so we require the rent to own buyers to enter into the credit repair program. And so on average, it's taking, you know, 6 months, 9 months, sometimes 12 months to get them ready for a mortgage. But the reason I brought that up is because if your portfolio is leaning heavily on rent to own buyers, which mine is, of course, I sell a lot of them in MLS, all that's going to determine the kind of insurance that you should have. So at the live event, we'll sit down with you and give our recommendation to you.
So once again, Jay, how do they get to the live event?
Yes. So the upcoming live event, which is not far away at all, it's October 10, 11 and 12, 2018. And the website is jayconner.com/money podcast.
Awesome. Well, let's move on to another question.
Sure.
So from the live event, another question that was a common question that some people have is about your private lenders. So do you, when you pay out the private lenders at the end of the year, give them a 1099?
Absolutely. So when you are, well, no, that depends. That depends. So here's what it depends on. If the loan is from your private lender's self-directed IRA account, then it's actually in the tax code. You, as the borrower, of course, you're paying their self-directed IRA the interest, okay? You're either paying it or it's being accrued. And the tax code says you are not required to send them a 1099, and here's why. Because all profits, all income coming back into your private lender's self-directed IRA account is tax-free, 100% tax-free, and penalty-free. So since there's no taxes owed on that interest income into their IRA account, no 1099 is required. On the other hand, when you are borrowing just liquid capital or investment capital or mattress money, I was presenting a private lender luncheon just last Friday, Chappie. In fact, we had the mastermind meeting of our mastermind group last Thursday and Friday leading up to the live event. And I excused myself during lunch because I had been invited to do a private lender luncheon presentation down the road. So I went down and did the presentation afterwards. A lady came up to me and she says, "Well, Jay, you talked about investment capital. You talked about self-directed IRAs. Can I loan you cash from my mattress?" I said, "Cash from your mattress works." So anyway, back to the question on 1099s. If she loans me money from her mattress, yes, mattress money gets a 1099.
That's right.
So yeah, they would be required, your private lender would be required to actually pay taxes. And the tax rate is the ordinary income rate. So no matter, you know, whatever tax bracket they are for ordinary income would be the tax percentage that they would pay, you know, for that year of interest income that you paid them.
Awesome. Jay, you had any more comments that you want to read?
Sure.
Live event?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So one student here says, "What they liked best about the live event is that the information was so practical. So practical, I can put the strategies to work right away, right now." And I hear that. Well, I hear that a lot. And you probably do too.
Yeah.
It's practical. It's not theory.
It's not overwhelming, right? You're not flooding them with so much information that they don't know what to do with it. So
exactly. I teach what to do first, second, third, step by step. And here's another thing about what we teach. And that is, I don't teach anything. I don't recommend any resources until I have actually used the resources myself or used the strategy myself. And it's proven to work. And so, you know, I'm not passing on information at my live event because I heard some other real estate investor talking about it. Now, I'm in other mastermind groups myself, which I recommend, and I learn about other resources, but I check them out myself. I test them myself. I'm always learning about new resources on where I can get mailing lists for motivated sellers and the different types of lists. And so I'll get excited about a list and I'll check it out. If it works for me and it's proven to work, then I'll pass it on to my students at the live event.
And this next comment kind of adds right to that, which is student says, "What do they like best about the event?" They say the large amount of information provided and the genuine space of all the presenters. So even though it's simple, it's step by step, there's still a large amount of information that you share.
That's true.
And as you said, you know, it's genuine. It's stuff that you're actually doing. It's stuff that you've actually implemented in your business and not just stuff that you heard out in the interweb.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's move on to another question from the live event. And let's see, what is this question? Here we go. So another question from the live event is, it's about subject two. So.
Oh, okay. I remember the question. Yeah. The student was asking at the event, said, if you purchase a property in a land trust and you purchase it by using the method of buying subject to, does that keep the due on sale clause from being triggered? So let me break that question down because it's got the terminology land trust in it. Mm-hmm. It's got the terminology subject to in it. And it's got the phrase due on sale clause.
Right.
So, you know, I'm sure a lot of you viewers and listeners, whether you're watching on YouTube or you're listening, you know, on iTunes or any other podcast, platform, many of you I know those phrases. But let me take just a quick second and for just to make sure everybody understands the question. The land trust. So the land trust is a strategy to where you can buy properties in a land trust and the land trust can be structured to where there's only one property in that land trust. And the benefit of buying in a land trust is the actual beneficiary of the land trust is not on public record anywhere. So what's that word? It sounds like anonymity. How's it go? You're sort of kept, you keep your business to yourself, to where you're not out there. I'm forgetting the word. Nonetheless, if you don't want somebody knowing your business on public record, I mean, even if you're buying an LLC, anybody can look up the Secretary of State and find out who is the principals or who are the principals of the LLC. So a land trust just keeps your business personal, because the beneficiary of the land trust is only on record at your real estate attorney's office or in your filing cabinet. So that's what a land trust is, all right? Then we have the phrase called buying subject to. So what buying subject to means is that you have a motivated seller that is willing to sell you their property while at the same time leaving their current mortgage in their name, and you are agreeing to make their mortgage payments and you own the property. So it's a great way to leverage funding. It's another way to fund your deals. You say, who would sell on subject to? Well, a motivated seller that's looking for debt relief. And I've done many, many, many subject to deals. And the third phrase was triggering the due on sale clause. So what the due on sale, Taffy, you tell them what the due on sale clause is. I'm tired of talking for a second. You tell them.
So the due on sale clause is a clause within the mortgage that says when you transfer the property or transfer ownership of the property from one person to another, that the bank or the mortgage owner has the right to call that loan due, which means that you have to pay the entire mortgage amount to that bank or they will foreclose on the property.
Exactly. So I've done a ton of subject to deals. I mean, what's a ton? More than 100. Okay. Subject to deals over the past 15 years. And so I've never had a note called due payable in full. That's called triggering the due on sale clause. Like it's been transferred over, title's changed hands. Oh, okay. Loan's got to be paid off. What I've discovered is that the lender, all they want is they want the money. They want the payments. All right. And if they trigger the due on sale clause, the lender knows that could lead to a foreclosure. And the mortgage company does not want to spend the money on a foreclosure. And as long as the payments are kept current, all is good. By the way, subject to has been around for decades and decades and decades. It's actually on the settlement statement. Line number 203 on the settlement statement says the funding for the deal is subject to the existing note. So it's there. So now that we've defined these phrases, let me answer the question. So the question is, again, if I buy in a land trust, does that keep from triggering, and you buy it subject to, does that keep from triggering the due on sale clause? And the answer is no. So regardless of what entity, whether it's an LLC or a land trust, or if it's your self-directed IRA, you know, self-directed IRAs, you can buy and sell houses. And whatever the profit is, it's 100% tax-free. No matter the entity that buys the house, if your entity is buying the house subject to the existing note, the due on sale clause is triggered. Now, is the mortgage company or lender going to even know about it? Probably not. But hey, they may be asking the question in their mind, well, if it does get called the due, you know, paid in full, well, what do you do? Well, you've got options. First of all, private money, all right? So you can pay off that note and use private money so it's refinancing. It's just refinancing using private money. Or, which I do not recommend, but I'm getting ready to say, but it's another option. If you don't have private money, get to my live event and you should have private money. But if you don't have private money and you got a due on sale clause that is triggered and the lender's calling it due, then you can deed the property back to the individual or people that sold you the property. But before you deed it back, you get a new lease option or lease purchase agreement with the same payments, et cetera, that you were paying subject to. So you still control the property with a lease purchase or lease option. But then that property is deeded back to that seller. So now the lender's all happy if it was called due. And then they're going to get, you know, cashed out like you were going to cash them out originally. when you find a cash out buyer or you sell it on rent to own and you get them ready for a mortgage, then everybody gets paid off. Do you need to clean that up any, or was it good?
Well, it's good, Jay. And if they want more details, then come to the live event.
If that was confusing, get to the live event and I'll clean it up for you.
That's right.
So anyway, that was a good question.
You want to give them the link to the live event one more time, Jay?
Sure. To the upcoming live event, October 10th, 11th, and 12th. So it's right around the corner. It'll be here before you know it. That's October 10, 11, and 12, 2018. You get to come for free. There is a $97 registration fee, but you and a guest get to come for free. And you go to the website, check it out, and go ahead and get registered now at www.jayconner.com/money podcast. And we've got it right here on the video for you.
And so just to review that last question about the due on sale clause, what I love about what you train and why a lot of students come to your event is that you teach one concept very well and you reiterate it the entire event, which is get the money first.
Yes.
And so if you're looking for money for rehabs, if you're looking for anything, you got a due on sale clause that's being called. If you have the money, a lot of these challenges go away. People say, I can't find any deals. Well, if you got the money, you can make all cash offers. You can find deals.
Absolutely.
I can't fix up houses. I don't have rehab money. Well, if you got the money, you can fix the house. So you teach that over and over again. And throughout the live event, you tell people how to get the money and you reiterate that get the money first. And that's what I love about you.
Yep. Well, I mean, it's true. I mean, you know, I don't know about you. But I don't want to be making a bunch of offers on houses and I don't know where the money's coming from. Okay. Right. I mean, you know, I mean, in the real world, when you're negotiating, of course, if you're making an offer in the multiple listing service, you got to have the money. All right. That's like slim to none. And Slim just got up and left. Slim to none chances that you're going to find an owner finance deal or seller finance deal in the MLS, you know? So, when you're negotiating with for sale by owners or FSBOs, the majority of those sellers require and will not sell to you unless you got all the money. Am I going to talk about subject two? Yes. Am I going to talk about seller financing with a FSBO? Sure, if it's free and clear. If it's free and clear, that automatically triggers. Let's talk about seller financing.
Well, I'll tell you, even with a subject two, you know, there's a lot of instructors out there that say, if you don't have any money, just buy a subject two. Well, sometimes with subject two, you still need private money.
Absolutely. You need the private money in a lot of cases on buying subject to is because if there's any kind of renovations or any kind of repairs, well, the seller's not going to give you money for that. You got to come up with the money either out of your pocket or you can get a private lender to loan you money for that deal to go along with subject to. I mean, are there marketing costs on every property? Yes. Are there carrying costs on every property? Yes, over and beyond the mortgage payment. I mean, there's the utility bill. There's the cutting of the grass until you get it cash flowed. Even if it's a pretty house, I mean, you got to clean it up. And I frankly, Chappy, I do not know any house I ever bought unless I was going to sell it on sweat equity or, you know, work for equity. Yeah, unless I was selling it on work for equity, I always budget in a minimum of $5,000 on every house for unexpected repairs because Murphy, and you all know who Murphy is, Murphy lives in every house.
Absolutely. Hey, do you have any more comments you want to read from the last live event we just
did? Sure. So this student says, Jay, is what I like best about my life. That's funny. Anyway, what they liked best about the event was Jay's experience, his team, and his team's experience. What I liked best about was the bus tour and interviewing of his team members on the bus tour. So yeah, the bus tour is definitely a highlight of the event.
And again, I want to stress the importance of having a powerful and strong team that takes care of your business for you. And what's so great about the live event is that you actually bring your team members to that live event and people can ask them, hey, how'd Jay find you? How does Jay compensate you? How does Jay work with you? Or how do you work with Jay? And a bunch of other questions. I mean, pretty much anything goes.
Yeah. In fact, you know, I'll have at least one session at the event. Of course, we always have time for questions and answers. But sometimes I'll have at the event just an open-ended question-answer session where you can ask any question about real estate investing, either on topics we've covered or that we haven't covered. And the students at the live event are not short on questions. So, we answer anything that you got going on. And also, you got questions on commercial besides single family. I can help you on commercial. I've done commercial projects. In fact, on the bus tour, a lot of times, we drive right by my shopping center that's in Newport, which is adjacent to where we have the live event. So we can talk about that as well.
Awesome. Well, speaking of questions, Jay, we got more questions to answer. So
okay.
The next question from the live event is, during the rent-to-own tour that you talk about at the live event, are any of the people that show up to buy the house, are they financed or are they all rent-to-own?
Good question. So to give a little color to this question, what the student's talking about is I teach at the event on the second day about how I can sell any house in 3 days or less by using the rent-to-own home tour strategy. So I just put this strategy together about 3 years ago, and it fixes your worry and your fear about being stuck with a house that you can't sell. Because this strategy gets houses sold. So what happens in a nutshell on the rent to own homes tour is you can have just one house or you can have multiple houses. So we set a time period to where there's an open house for only 1 hour. We start and you got to have a buyer's list for this strategy to work. And of course, I teach how to build your buyer's list very, very quickly. And so once we have this buyer's list built, which takes less than a month, I mean, my area of that we target is only 40,000 people, small area. And so in less than 30 days, I mean, I get over 300 new potential buyers at our homes raising their hand every month, emailing us, calling us, wanting information, wanting to know where the houses are that they can go look at, et cetera. So you got the buyer's list built. Mm-hmm. Once the buyer list is built, which you can do very, very quickly. I mean, I even teach Facebook ads. We do a lot of Facebook ads in our area. You got the buyer's list. So then on Thursday at noon, prior to Saturday of the event, Thursday at noon, an email goes out to the list and a voice broadcast. Okay. And a text goes out at 5 p.m. on Thursday. And of course, I teach what is said in the voice broadcast, you know, what is said in the text, what's in the email, all that. You know, when I email, your subject line is the most important thing because you got to get the email opened up, right? So that's Thursday. So nobody knows that this event is going to happen on Saturday until we start promoting it on Thursday. Then on Friday at noon, another email goes out to the buyer's list. Another voice broadcast goes out talking about the open house, etc. And then again at 5 p.m. on Friday, a text goes out to the list. And then finally on Saturday morning, the only thing that happens Saturday morning is at 8 a.m., a text goes out to the list. So we don't let them in early. We make them line up at the door waiting to get in. I mean, it's like trying to get into a furniture store going out of business. You got 30, 40 people lined up trying to, you know, get in. We open the door. Everybody goes in, they walk around, we register, we give away cash at these rent-to-own promotions. And so the question is, that Chaffee just repeated from the student is, are any of these people that show up, are they ready for a mortgage or they all got to go through the rent-to-own process? And here's what's really cool. You get 30 or 40 people interested in a house, some of those people, well, all of them think they need rent-to-own or they wouldn't be there, okay? But some of these people don't think they qualify for a mortgage, but they do, right? So I've got connections and I teach my students at the live events. In fact, I gave out the resources yesterday at the live event that we just finished up. I've got national connections with mortgage lenders that specialize in providing mortgages for FHA, VA, and USDA loans. You may not know this, but USDA loans is not only zero down, They finance 102% of the loan amounts. They actually help with the closing costs.
So they don't just verify meat.
No, they do not just verify meat. That's right. USDA loans actually go back to the 1940s when it was originally, originally came out. And it was for originally put together for agricultural areas, farmers that don't have consistent income per year. But the government, Chappie, is a little slow to move sometimes. So they